Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
When we come into union with Christ, what happens to Christ is credited to have happened to us. Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also were raised into a newness of life. So he says, now we should walk in the newness of life.
I will no longer die to what he died to. Because he died, I'm no longer in my sins. Because he died, I can never be sick. Because he died, I can never be poor. Because he died, I can never be under a curse. Because he died, I can never be a prey to the fowler. My soul has escaped through his blood.
Step into the world of infinite possibilities as you listen to Pastor David Ibichukwu today.
Libre de cose de libra de caia la de caia la sun de libra de caia libre de sun de libre predos che paian da caiere catonge lira dose de libre che tose te alla bragadescia. Every worshiper here, lift your voice and lift your hands and worship him. Worship him in spirit. Li cara de sun de libre che tose libre de cose paia cate libre de cose te a cate le baia cate de libre gedosha libre de catos de libre gedosha libre gedos in de libre gedesha libre de sotea la cate libaya cate zote y calade libre gedos tea cata libre de caia baluse libre de cuse tea ragados que paya libre de prodose taya la cataya. Lord, we bless you, Father. Just wave those hands to him. We bless you, Father. Oh, the new is here. Oh, the new is here. Oh, the new is here. Le garado shakataya. Father, we give you praise. And we honor you. And we thank you for what you're doing in our midst. We thank you for your precious presence. Your spirit in our midst. Moving in our hearts. Doing your will. Performing the counsel of your pleasure. The pleasure of your counsel, Lord. Thank you for your oracles. For your word that is in our midst. Thank you for appearing to us today by your word. Thank you for appearing to us today by your word. Thank you for revelational knowledge. Thank you for discerning and discernment and depths of insight in your word by the ministry of your spirit in our hearts. Our lives will never remain the same. And thank you for the blessings of your word. We receive the fullness of the blessings of this gospel today into our lives in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And let the people of God say a very big amen. If you're excited to be here as I am, lift those two hands and rejoice in the Lord and praise him with joy and praise him with a shout and praise him with lifted hands and praise him and praise the Lord our God. We give you all the glory. Thank you, Father. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Welcome everyone by your side. Make sure no one sitting by your side will remain a stranger to your left and to your right. Let them know how excited we are that they are in church today. Welcome them. Welcome them. Thank you for being in church this morning. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We will go straight into the word of the Lord. Psalms chapter 11, verse 1 to verse 3. Now, tell your neighbor, please don't distract me today. Say, I have serious business to deal with. Say, it's a matter of family and destinies. Say, I'm here to engage. Light for great blessings for my family. If you're the one that the Lord has ordained this service for, shout your loudest, amen.
In the Lord I put my trust. How can you say to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? How can you be giving me an alternative of deliverance? How can you be saying to me, this is where your deliverance is going to come from? This is where your strength is going to come from. In the Lord, I put my trust. Lift your hands and declare it. In the Lord, I put my trust. Say it again. In the Lord, I put my trust. Go back to verse 1. When I stay there, you stay there. In the Lord, shout it again. In the Lord, I put my trust. So how can you say to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? No. Look at verse 2. Verse 2. For look, the wicked bend their bow. Somebody said the wicked prepare their weapons. You know the act wicked one? The wicked one, the devil. Now he has a network of demons and devils. A network of them. Both the disembodied spirits that keep looking for human vessels and human agents to possess and then to use. There are disembodied, there are different kinds of fallen angels. They are all not the same. And so when you see a man, a woman, doing evil against another man with such wickedness, you know where he's coming from. That one is possessed, influenced, induced, and persuaded from the very pit of hell. That one is possessed by devils. The wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow on the strings. That they may shoot secretly, watch this, secretly at the upright in heart. The attack of the enemy. The attack of the enemy. When the devil gets ready to attack, when the devil gets ready to lay waste, when the devil gets ready to destroy, what is always his focus? Look at verse 3. And everybody read and read out very loud. One to go. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? I'm still not hearing you. Louder. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? So what does the devil try to strike? Someone say foundations. Come on, say it again. Say foundations. Someone say it's foundations. What's a foundation? A foundation is an underlying structure, a principal structure, a soft structure, a first structure that bears up and determines the existence and the quality of every other thing that comes upon it. That's a foundation. It's the beginning of everything else that exists. The beginning of existence. That's the foundation. And so when you look at mankind, make sure you're sitting up, please. When you look at mankind and the human race, you find out that the foundation of humanity and of society as God created it, when God finished creating the heavens and the earth, adorned the cosmos with beauty and splendor, saw that everything he created was good. On the sixth day, he now said, let us make man in our own image. And the Bible said, in his own image, he created us. Male and female, he created them. And so he looked at the male man and said, it is not good for him to be alone. And he made a female man. And when he made a female man, both of them came together and they gave birth to children. That means God's plan for man to dominate the earth could only come through family. The male and the female coming together and raising children. The children also, male and female, coming together. So the foundation of woman's existence, the foundation of human existence on earth, what God laid together, God is the main source, but what he laid as foundation on earth is family. That means when the devil wants to destroy man, he goes for the roots, the foundation. What he attacks is the family. There is a massive demonic attack on the concepts and the ideals of godly families today. So when you see most husbands and wives fighting, doing whatever they want to do, when you see what our fathers have gone through, some of them think it's just normal. I married the wrong person. I just made a mistake. They think it's a normal thing. They don't know that there is an arrow coming from somewhere. That conflicts in homes are engineered from the pit of hell. They do not even know. They don't even know that they are part of a spiritual warfare. That there is a warfare going on. They are not even aware. So you see, there are three ways God builds anything he builds. Three major ways he builds anything he builds with men. Three ways. Whenever God wants to build a man, wants to build a nation, wants to build a people, he does it in three major ways. Somebody said, God builds revelationally. Come on, let me hear your voice and hear it louder. Say, God builds revelationally. That means whenever God wants to build anything, he sends his word. He releases his word, light. The second one, somebody say with me, God builds relationally. When God wants to build with you, he doesn't deal with you as just a judge. He brings you into a sonship relationship. He wants to walk with you. He wants you to know him. And he wants to know him as he's known of, as he knows you. So he gets you into a relationship. Number three, somebody say with me, God builds generationally. I'm not hearing you. Say it louder. Say, God builds generationally. So he doesn't just build revelationally and relationally. When he sees you, he doesn't just see you. He sees the seed that you're carrying. He sees the nation that will come forth from you. So when God is speaking to a man, he doesn't just speak to him as an individual. He speaks to his legacy. He speaks to his posterity. He speaks to his children's children. Nations that will come forth from him. And if God builds generationally, it means the devil also attacks generationally. The devil is a sworn enemy to everything God loves and everything God is building. He wants to destroy. So if God builds generationally, when he speaks to Abraham, he speaks to him and his descendants, his offsprings. When he speaks to Adam, he speaks to be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. He speaks to that which will come forth from him. Every time God blesses, he blesses us and our offsprings, our descendants. So that's why he's called the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. You see, he's called that because he builds generationally. Say with me, God builds generationally. Say, I want you to enter into you. Say, God builds generationally. So say with me, what God is doing in my life is beyond me. It's about my children's children. It's about the nation I'm carrying. In my loins. If you're a woman, say in my womb. Come on, somebody shout a big hallelujah. That means when the devil begins to attack, when the wicked begins to bend their bows and set their arrows on the strings, what is attacking is not just you. Why he's trying to mess up people's lives is not just them. So when you see the father that is irresponsible, careless, prayerless, reckless, when you see the woman that is complacent, reckless, irresponsible, and they jam in a family, you think it's about their individual lives. Go and check the children and what will happen to children who come from those such dysfunctional families. And you see the perpetuation of iniquity, of unrighteousness, of abuse from one generation to another. Go and check. It's not about those individuals. It's about the effect it's going to have on their children. And the destruction those children will also be used to do on their, to wreck on their own children. So the devil begins to perpetuate such evil from one generation after another. Your failure doesn't just affect you. Your mediocrity doesn't just affect you. It sentences generations to mediocrity. That's how serious it is. So when the devil attacks, it's never really about a thing or a person. It's never really about a business. It's never really about your money. It's never really about just your health. It's always about generations and descendants. And the effective way to destroy generations is by attacking the foundation. Once you attack the foundation, there is nothing else that can happen. The foundation is the source and the principle of the rest. The foundation is the source and the principle of the rest. It's the root. Whatever happens to the foundation affects the rest. Whatever happens to the root affects the whole. If it happens to the root, it affects the whole. Romans chapter 11, verse 16. Get there. I want you to hold that neighbor by your side. Call him by his or her name. Say, Mr. David. Say, hear the word of the Lord. And read to your neighbor, one, two, go. I'm not hearing you. Louder. So, if the first fruit, the foundation, the beginning, the source of the family is holy, if it's sanctified, if it's set apart, if the blessing of the Lord abides there, the rest will be affected. But if the root is unholy, it affects the branches. If the root is diseased, it affects the rest. Everything that comes out from it. You've got to understand that. It's a principle of the Spirit. Therefore, I want to listen. When a man wants to bring the blessing of the Lord to bear rule in a land. When a man wants to, like God is talking to me about Nigeria, talking to me about a whole lot of things, about nations, I was very, very glad when in the scheme of his plans, he began to reveal what must be attacked next year. And he gave us a kingdom family life vision for next year. He said, you want to correct this? You want to bring the blessing and revert the courses that is running agog, running reckless all over, destroying lives? He said, start attacking the root. And for every one of us, there are so many of us here who are married. There are so many of us who are of the marriageable age. According to the prophetic that has been released, 2025 is your year. It's not what you used to hear. It's not what you used to hear. It's a mandate from heaven. 2025, you're entering into your own godly family in the name of Jesus Christ. I didn't hear a believing amen. And there are so many of us that it will take some years. Some 3 years, 5 years. Maybe you're quite very young and it will take you up to 10 years now. I don't think it should. With what we are dealing with, you'll marry early. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? And yet many of us carry in our hearts our father's families. So we're not just dealing with our individual families. We're also dealing with our father's families. And remember what I will say. Hear what I'm about to say. When it comes to your father's family, you're only an intercessor. You can only stand in the gap. You're not the priest. You're not the priest. You're only what? An intercessor. You're not the high priest. I may put it because an intercessor is a priest. You're not the high priest. Your father and your mother still, you can only stand in the gap. You can stand in the gap effectively and bring the blessing to bear. But your father and your mother, they are the ones responsible for your family. You are responsible for you, your spouse, and your what? Your children. Very important. Very, very important. But hear me, this is very important. When we want to see, because we're talking about family blessings. Everybody say family blessings. When we want to have the blessing of the Lord bearing rule in our families, what we must first deal with is foundations. If there are faulty foundations, we have to deal with it. If there are faulty foundations, it has to be dealt with. Let's look at examples of families with very faulty foundations. Number one. So let's do the diagnosis a little before we start entering the solution. Number one, families that were rooted in idolatry, whether presently or in the past, already have faulty foundations. Wherever there was idolatry in any family, and you're part of that family, and you came from that family, that's a faulty foundation. You have to deal with it. I know you're born again, but you have to deal with it. I know you've been brought into Christ, but you have to deal with it. And I'm going to give you reasons why it has to be dealt with. Very, very important. Number two. Families with legal demonic covenants made on demonic altars. They may not be given to idolatry expressly, but for certain reasons, when they were under pressure, when they were going through things, somewhere they were shown another mountain from whence they can get their help. And they consulted demonic altars for one reason or the other. So whether it happened in the past, that's a legal covenant. This covenant may be made knowingly or unknowingly. They may not even know. It might be, somebody said, for this to happen, oh, this thing that is happening to your child, oh, and there is something they do in the village. Oh, I know you go to church, but I'm not asking you to come, but bring your money. Let's go and do it for you. And after the stopping and the sobbing, and the person is looking, he has prayed about it, nothing is changing. Suddenly, he carries money to give them. And forgets that he gave money. Legal covenant. Number three. Families that are under the attack. Am I fast? Families that are under the attack and assault of wicked enemies. Whether presently or in the past. Why is that foundation needed? Why do you need to deal with that foundation? It's because most wicked enemies that come after families raise demonic altars to torment not just them, but to afflict their generations. So there are certain altars that speak against families and go after every offspring from those places, from generation to generation, that come because the fathers or the mothers went on a demonic altar. There are ones that they didn't go. Someone else who wants their demise, someone else who wants their destruction, raised an altar that speaks against them. And once an altar is raised, it has to be dealt with. Once an altar is raised, it has to be dealt with. Whether it was raised by people in the family or it was raised by other wicked enemies against the family, it has to be dealt with. Number four. Families under the siege of familiar demonic spirits. See, demons are stubborn spirits. Devils are very stubborn. Whenever they take a territory, and the life of a man is a territory, a family is a territory. Once they take a territory, they don't like letting go of that territory. Once they take possession of a thing, they don't like letting go. So even when they are cast out, there are families that their parents and their parents and their grandparents stood up and said, we don't want idolatry again. They brought people, they removed, sacked all the and removed those idols from there. Some say, I don't want this again, and they renounced. And they, one thing about wicked spirits, devils, is even after you cast them out, they roam and roam and roam. And if they don't find another resting place, they always come back to where they left. Always they are very stubborn. To check if there is empty space, if there is room to rent, and if there is an opportunity and somebody created a room, they now go and collect more wicked spirits. Because the first time you injected them, it was easy. The second time, they don't want to go easy. So Jesus is the one who said this. It's a revelation. They go and bring more wicked spirits, and then they return. And the Bible says the case of the latter becomes worse than the former. Whatever the issue was becomes worse than the former. So you see the madman of Gadara, who had been possessed by a legion of demons and has made that area his territory. An area. People were even afraid to cross that area. So he has taken a portion of God's creation, earth, and called it his own. He's going to dominate there. Jesus comes. ready to cast them out, and they start begging, please, even if you cast us out, let us not roam. Cast them out. They say, cast us out into the pigs, the swine that are there. Why? Those demons are disembodied spirits. They need a body to stay. And they want to remain in the territory. And so Jesus gave the command. They went out there and entered into the sea. So that means right in the sea there, they become marine spirits. They'll be controlling whatever happens within the waters in those places. And some people will go to the sea and say, sea, give me a child. And they say they call it Omenana traditions. Not knowing they are consulting marine spirits. Demonic spirits. That have been sent into the deep, cast into the sea. So I want you to see, when you watch the dealings of the devil with the Son of God, Jesus Christ, you look at the dealings of the devil with the Son of Man. The Bible said he will tempt Jesus. And after tempting him and being overcome, what happens? He leaves him for what? For a while, for a season. Because he's going to come back to check whether he's weak at this moment. To check. I know the kind of a natural family I came from. When the Lord began to show me certain things, as a believer, as a pastor, I used to tell people, you won't understand my level of consecration until you understand the foundations I came from, naturally. And as far as I'm on earth, we have to deal with that. You won't understand. For example, there are things that were done on altars. The altars have been taken care of. The demonic spirits have been sacked from the territory. But those altars, and there are different demons, and there are certain works of iniquity that they inspire. So when they inspire and fuel those kinds of iniquity, it services the altar for them to continue to act on earth. Some of them are like immorality. That's why if you go to the worship of demons, you will see a lot of idols that their worship goes with a lot of immorality. Like in the Bible, we saw Baal. And you will see temple prostitutes and people, and their priests will be laying and they will be naked. And so anything that has to do with that altar, anybody from that generation that gives himself to immorality opens the door for the same demons to start working on his life. So the only way the offsprings from that particular place will stay above board and have authority over demons if they consecrate themselves in the place of sexual purity. With that, once they enter immorality, they are going down. Their neighbor will do it and get scot-free. Their friends will do it and nothing will happen. They get involved in sexual immorality, they start going down. They start seeing different demonic activities happening to them. It means the altars they are dealing with is serviced through that same thing. Wave your hands if you're getting me. Are you sure you're getting me? We are dealing with very serious business. Tell your neighbor, we are dealing with very serious business. Very serious. Very serious business. So family is under the siege of familiar demonic spirits who inflict generational curses. They inflict generational curses and then they inflict repeated evil patterns. You see negative patterns showing up, like certain kinds of sicknesses. And after a while, they say it's hereditary. There is no sickness that is hereditary. It's demonic. they are caused by spirits of infirmity. God didn't encode sickness in the DNA of any man. For that to happen, sin enabled demons to rewrite the code of that DNA. And if you want to deal with those hereditary sicknesses, we are dealing with, I've cast out many of those devils. You're dealing with very wicked spirits. Familiar spirits are the most stubborn. They are not strong, though. There is not one of them that is strong. They are just stubborn. So from generation to generation, they said, this one killed this person. This one killed this person. This one killed this person. After a while, you see the pattern. You see mental disorder. Sometimes they say there is madness in their lineage. It happened to the auntie. It happened to the grandmother. It happened to the uncle. Now it's surfacing. It's surfacing. Then you see untimely death in some families. After a particular age, they all go down. I have a preacher who saw this happen in their lineage. And after a while, it was getting to a particular age, the same age that the father died. And it was hit with this sickness. And the devil said, listen, you're going to be here singing and die. And when you die, I will receive your soul in heaven. He said, but it won't be my will. Someone said, but why is it that when a man is born again now, he's now born again, so why should, that kind of thing, even for a preacher. Let me ask you. You have water in the tank running through shower system in your house. Nothing is stopping it. There is availability of water. You have shampoos, soaps, all manner of bath gels inside the bathroom. In fact, it's a state-of-the-art bathroom. Bathroom for kings. If you want the bathtub, is there. If you want the hot bath, is there. If you want normal shower system, is there. Everything is available. You have your jacuzzi self inside. You have it. Does the availability of the bathroom and the availability of the water and the availability of the bath gels and all the kinds of soap get a person clean? No. Until you go in yourself and open the shower and use it. It's like saying because you have water and you have soap, you are clean. You have to engage it before you enjoy it. Raise your hands if you're getting me. Don't you know that no Christian ought to be sick ever again? Don't you know that symptoms may want to attack our body? But we have a system, number one, redemption ensures that we are already delivered from the dominion of sickness. Jesus already paid the price for it, so we are free. Number two, we have a nature of God. The seed, the life of God in us. That life can't get sick. So, for a Christian, the life is no longer of the blood, but of God. He's no longer a child born of blood, born by the will of man or the will of the flesh. He's now a child born of God. That means the essence of life in our veins is away. Is the way that is sustaining our physical life, suke now. And that life knows no sickness. See a three-system defense against sickness. Number three, we have the Holy Spirit himself, who has become one with our spirit. His power dwells in us. And so the scripture says, in Romans chapter 8, verse 11, it says, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, if he dwells, and he dwells in all of us. He said, this same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead will also give life. So when there's sickness, what sickness? Death walking on the body. And he didn't say give life when we get to heaven. He said give life to your mortal. The body that death, sickness is what trying to act on. He will give it life through his spirit who dwells in you. Now the question is, why are Christians living in sickness? Why are preachers living in sickness? Why are people who are even raising their hands to heal the sick, and when they pray, the sick is healed, they themselves are living with sickness? Why? So hear the word of the Lord in Hosea chapter 4 verse 6. He said, my people, not the world, not unbelievers, my people perish. They are destroyed. The enemy will beat them look black and crazy. Beat them crazy. Because they lack knowledge. When they don't know and they don't use what they know, then the enemy can defeat them. Ought not to be so. Shouldn't be so. God didn't ordain it as so. Are there Christians that these patterns, negative patterns, are still showing up in their lives? Yes. Wonderful Christians. Many of them faithful Christians. One of the greatest truths you've got to learn is that there is a difference between faithfulness and faith. They are not the same. There is a reward for faithfulness. And for whatever you're faithful, God honors you. God promotes you. There is a reward for faithfulness. God honors you and God promotes you. But for the quality of your life, your health, your family, your finances, your prosperity is not faithfulness. It's faith. You've got to know what God says of you. You've got to be acquainted with his word. You've got to keep increasing in the knowledge of God, in the knowledge of his word. And you've got to apply yourself violently. Because in this kingdom, only the violent takes it. If you're sitting there wishing that if you just pray, if you just... No. Jesus told the disciples, say, you see this one? This kind goeth not out except by prayer and fasting. So there are things you want to deal with. The faith and the level of the operations in the spirit, for you to deal with that level, requires that you give yourself to fasting and prayer. And if you don't, that thing will disgrace you. Even though you're a Christian, even though you love the Lord, even though you give your tithes, even though. You've got to get to a place in your life, you say, enough! That far, no further, not in my life. You did it with my great-grandparents. You did it with my grandparents. You did it with my parents. That far, no further. I and my children after me will not go through this. You made the family of my parents your playing ground. Whenever you wanted, you just joked around. Whenever you wanted, the one who kills when life is sweet. The one who turns people's celebration to sorrows. So you see untimely death in some places. You see addictive behavior. Some people are just addicted. Addicted to different things, and it's coming from. You see barrenness. You see program delay. Like the root that Abraham came from, the father Terah, and all their lineage, delay, delay, delay. The meaning of his name is delay. That's the meaning of his name. So delay, everything they wanted, it was such, you know, Lot came from the same place. Such that even when the angels told Lot, it's time, leave, he almost was consumed. Lot, because he was delaying. The Bible says, for mercy, that's how God brought Lot out. For mercy. He was still delaying. Not knowing that that spirit of delay was running from their grandfather. They want to have children, delay. Everything delay. Stagnation. Some, every time, it's such that in some kind of families, they say, whenever anything is happening and good things are happening, don't share it. It's always near success, this syndrome. So they believe that once they share it, if somebody hears it, that's the end. That thing won't happen again. Some in the family, they are good starters. They start out well. So if you go to people in that family, you're always hearing, we had money. Things used to be easy. Things used to be easy. It happened to their great-grandfather. It happened to their grandfather. It happened to their father. In a youthful age, they get married. Things are always easy. Their children enjoy. After a while, rising and falling. Everybody comes down after a while. You have delayed marriage. You have divorce running in some families. You have inexplicable, ceaseless conflicts. Always fighting. Always quarreling. Never in peace. Now, this person is a Christian. He's now married. The same thing is happening in his home. Never believed it will happen in his home. He has not even traced it. Different kinds of negativity and evil occurrence. Number five. Before I say number five, number one, families rooted in idolatry. Number two, families with legal demonic covenants made on demonic altars, whether knowingly or unknowingly. Number three, families under the attack and the assault of wicked enemies. These enemies may have raised demonic altars to torment and inflict their generations. Then number four, families under the siege of familiar demonic spirits that inflict generational curses and repeated evil patterns, negative patterns. Number five, families plagued with generational ignorance, resulting, watch this, this is the one that is bad. Resulting in poor and unhealthy value systems. You come to those families, their mindset. Have you come to families where they say, it doesn't matter even if we don't have money, we will eat good food? Have you heard it before? Even if we don't have money. And they pass that thing on from generation. Right now, a Christian, a daughter is still doing the same thing. A son is still doing the same thing. It doesn't matter if we don't have money. In this house, the size of the meat will be big. And that's how they ate their investments. They ate their future. The only thing that matters is money for food. Once there is food, there is peace. So you have what I call anti-prosperity culture. They live their life, work with their youthful energy, and end up having little or nothing. Once they just build one small house in the village they have landed, for all their labor in life, impacted nobody, raised nobody, made no impact in life. Not in God's kingdom, not on society. Not in the society. that will never be your case in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I said, that will never be your case in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I said, that will never be your case in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We are going to now go into how do we deal with these things. I'm going to give you two scriptures that will lead us to it, and then I'll close, and then we'll move into it in the next service. Isaiah chapter 49, verse 24 to 26. Isaiah chapter 49, verse 24 to 26. I want you to hold your neighbor and call him by his or her name. Say, Mr. David. Say, are you still here? Say, are you serious? Read to that person, want to go. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the captives of the righteous be delivered? Shall the prey be taken from what? The mighty. Or the captives of what? The righteous be delivered. That's the question. Look at the answer. Verse 25. Want to go? Highlight out with audacity. Even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. For I will contend with him who contends with you, and I will save your children. Did you see it? He's saying, I'm dealing with him that is contending with you. But hey, this fight is not about you. It's about your what? I will save your children. Your children, everyone under the sound of my voice, will not know the battles you fought. Kaya, God will give them their own responsibilities. But whatever you conquer today by faith, will never plague your posterity again in the name of Jesus. Oh, you better know what we are saying. Verse 26. Keep reading and read it loud. Want to go? I will feed those who oppress you with their own flesh. As what we sweet, all flesh shall know that I, the Lord, I am your Savior and your Redeemer, the mighty one of Jacob. Whoever has that scripture and that word is your word and for your family, shout your loudest, amen! Stand on your feet. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 21. I don't know the conspiracy of hell. There are horns. The scripture spoke of in Zechariah chapter 1. And these horns of the Gentiles, controlled by demonic principalities, their work is no one will raise their head in Jacob. That nobody will lift up their head. So you have programmed futility of labor. People are working their hearts out. They say go for training, they go. They go to school. Some of them come out with first class, only to be first class failures. Happened to one, okay. Two, a little coincidence. Three, in the same family, is a pattern. It's a pattern. It's a pattern. People are laboring. And they can't tell what is resisting their movement. Some, every time they are charged up, motivated to move, something just happens and they are deflated. Some will come into just a dream. They dreamt, woke up, all the energy sapped, all the morale lost. They start again to wind themselves again. And with that, there is delay, passage of time. passage of time. So things that should happen in a month in their lives takes 2-3 years for it to happen. Snail movement. God. One of the ways you engage this is a prophetic. I don't have time for some others in this service. Let me engage that one. Lift your hands. A man in the kaya. Le prunde sande kanguza. Whatever it is that says you won't move forward, whatever it is that sponsors demonic resistance to your progress and your increase, to your prosperity and that of your family, comes down today in the name of Jesus. It is destroyed today in the name of Jesus. The Lord said, I should tell you, I have given you wings to fly. We have not dealt with this. What we just did is diagnosis. We will not get that. We are going to deal with it. Hold your neighbor. Read that scripture and read it loud. One to go. Though they join forces, the wicked will not go unpunished. But the posterity of the righteous will be delivered. Give me the NIV of it. Be sure of this, the wicked will not go unpunished, but those who are righteous will go free. Give me the NLT. I'm seeing where he says the children of the righteous. The NLT. Everybody read. One to go. So is there an assurance that the sins and the iniquities of the Father will not be demanded from us? Yes, there is. When we come into the third service, I will lead you into a thing where we have an assurance from God that whatever the fathers did will remain on their head. In fact, our place as intercessors is also they that are captives of the mighty will be delivered. We will become the point of their deliverance. Not that what they did will be on our own head. Somebody say, not on my head. Come on, say, not on my head. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 29 to 34. I need to give you this scripture before we pray. Bring out the pictures of people in your family. Bring out your oil right now. We are about to pray. Jeremiah 31, 29, New King James to 34. 29 to 34. In those days, they will say, no more. They will say, no more. There is a day this will not be said again. The fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. That means what the fathers did, the children are about to multiply. They are about to repeat the mistakes of their fathers. He said, there is a day this will be no more. Where whatever happened to the fathers will affect their children. We are going to find out the day. Verse 30. But everyone shall die for his own iniquity. Every man who is the sour grape, his teeth shall be on the set of the edge, not his children. Whatever he did won't affect his children. There is a day. Behold, the days are coming, verse 31, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant. So it is a day of a new covenant. When I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. He's talking about the new creation. Watch this. Not according to the covenant I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant which they broke, which I was, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. He said, that was the old covenant. There is a new covenant coming. Verse 33. Everybody, read with me. One to go. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Verse 34. No more shall every man teach his neighbor, and every man in his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. I will remember no more. In Christ we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to his riches. The day he was talking of is today. Everyone under that new covenant, whatever their fathers did is on their own head. In fact, what we are doing now is not as, we are not afraid what that they did will affect us and our children. We are standing in the gap as intercessors for their own deliverance. No fear. The word of God will not return to him void. It's set and settled. No fear. Somebody hearing me? We are going to go deeper into this in the fourth service. You want to deal with family issues, though? This is the only Sunday I have for it for this year. Make sure next year we'll dive and have boot camps and summits for it. In case some people somewhere, somehow, this one didn't set well, but it will set. We'll be doing for new people. Raise that oil everywhere you are. Raise those family pictures. Pray in the spirit with fire in your heart. What you're dealing with only respects authority. So if you're here just watching, you don't know what we are dealing with. This is the zone of those who are violent in faith. Don't be lazy waiting for a pastor that will pray for you. You don't carry your pastor everywhere you go. Your pastor won't show up everywhere you're going to be facing things. You better build up your own spirit. Don't pray with understanding. The realms we are going forth into now, what we are addressing is a mystery. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Ligala barataya. Ligerebo shakata. Legrede zutenga. In the name of Jesus, lift your hands. I now decree and declare over every picture you've lifted here today of your families, using them as a point of contact, I decree, if any of them were sitting in the valley of darkness, in the land of the shadows of death, today I command, let light break forth for them in Jesus' name. I command light to break forth for them in Jesus' name. The light of salvation, the light of deliverance, the light of healing, the light of prosperity, the light of peace, in the name of Jesus, the light of honor, they shall not see shame, they will not remain in shame, they
your father's house, your mother's house, your household right now in the name of Jesus. The blessing bears root.
You will hear news today. You will hear news today. Lift those oil. From this moment, Lord, this is to be ordinary oil. But I begin to present it before you. And I speak that it becomes a medium of the transference of your anointing and of your power. And Lord, I speak as I hear you, that as you go forth today to anoint the four walls of your families with this oil, whatever you anoint it with, and whoever you place it on to anoint, hear me. The Lord said I should speak, and I speak. The fire of God's judgment shall burn. In the name of Jesus, you will hear news that men have been cut down for your sake. You will hear news that the scepter of the wicked has been broken. In the name of Jesus. Wherever the sword is used, upon whoever, the power, the dominion and the glory of the kingdom bears rule over in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Put a praise on this. Put a praise on this. You better be grateful. You better be praiseful. Put a praise on this. The enemy is silenced. Put a praise on this. The avenger is silenced. Put a praise on this. Put a praise on this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to you, Jesus. Amen. Tell everybody as you sit down, congratulations, congratulations, congratulations.
Thank you so much for listening to this message by Pastor David Ivichukwu. Follow us on any of our social media platforms using the handle @MyLambWorld or contact us at 006-275-3311 to purchase and listen to more life-changing messages by Pastor David Ivichukwu.